Parshas Emor. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, Emor el HaKoyhanim, say to the Koyhanim, Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, V'yomarto Alehem, and you shall say to them, L'nefesh, to a dead person, Lo Yitamo, he shall not become Tomei, the Koyin may not become Tomei, Be'amov, when the dead person is among his nation. The Pasuk is telling us the Isser of a Koyin becoming Tomei to a dead person. Rashi asks, why does it say a double lashon of Emor say, V'yomarto Alehem, and you shall say to them? The Pasuk is telling us, Lahazer Gedolim, to warn Koyhanim who are Gedolim, adults, Milatame Hakatanim, from making Tomei Biodayim with their hands, Koyhanim who are Katanim. There is no Isser if a Katan, a Koyin who is a Katan, is touching a dead body. Ein Bezdin Mitzuvin Lafrishoi, Bezdin is not commanded to separate them from becoming Tameh. But the Gedolim may not be Metameh the Ketanim Biodayim. The Koyin who is a Gadol may not cause the Koyin who is a Katan to become Tameh Lameis. Rashi also tells us why the Pasuk uses a double Lashon, Koyhanim, and then says Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, which seems to be the same thing twice. Rashi says, if the Pasuk would just say Bnei Aharon, I might think that included in the Isser of being Metamil Ames would also be Chalolim, because they are also Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon. Therefore the Pasuk says Koyhanim, telling us only Koyhanim who may do the Avodah, because the word Koyin means to serve, and this is coming to exclude Chalolim, Koyhanim who are Chalolim. What is a Chalol? These are children born from unions specifically forbidden to Koyhanim. For example, if a Koyin Gadol will marry an Almona, a widow who is usher to him, the children will be Chalolim. Or if a Kohen Hedyot marries a Grusha, a divorced woman, who is usher to him, the children will be Chalolim. So the Pasuk is telling us that these Chalolim are not included in the Isser of being Metame Lameis to a dead person. Then Rashi tells us the other way. If the Pasuk would just say Koyhanim, since the word Koyhanim means to serve, I might think that a Kohen who cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash, namely a Kohen who is a Balmum, who has a blemish, is not included in the Isser of being Metamel Lameis, and he would be able to touch a dead body. Therefore the Pasuk says, Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, including even Bali Mumim, Koyhanim who have Mumim in the Isser of being Metame Lameis. And Rashi also tells us that since the Pasuk says, Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, this is coming to exclude Bnei Aharon, the daughters of Aharon, who may be Metame to a dead person. So it comes out that included in the Isser are Koyhanim Bali Mumim, but excluded from the Isser are the daughters of Aharon and Chalolim. Rashi tells us, what does the Pasuk mean when it says Ba'amov among his people? The Pasuk is saying that only when can a Koyin not be Metame Lameis, that's when the mace is Ba'amov, the dead body is among his people. There are other people to bury this corpse. But by a mace mitzvah, which means a dead body that has nobody else to bury it, the halacha is that it is a mitzvah for the Koyin to be Metame to this dead body. Ba'amov, only if it is Ba'amov is the Koyin Aser, but not a Meis Mitzvah. The Pasuk continues by telling us the Zayin Kroivim, the seven relatives which a Koyin may be Metame to. Kiim L'She'eroi, except to his relative HaKoriv Elov, who is close to him, referring to his wife, Le'imai Ula Aviv, to his mother and to his father, V'Levnoi, and to his son, Ulevitai, and his daughter, Ula Achiv, and his brother, V'La Achoisai, and he also may be Metame to his sister, Habesula, who is a virgin. As long as she is a besula, he may be metameter, but if somebody was ma'anes his sister, somebody raped his sister and she is not a besula, then he may not be metamet to this sister when she dies. Hakroiva elov, if she is close to him. The Pasuk is telling us that as long as she is close to him, he may be metameter, which means that even if she got married, as long as she only entered the first stage of marriage, which is erisin, she is considered close to him because she did not leave yet her father's house. Therefore, if she dies, then he may be metameter. But that is as long as asher lo hoisel ish, she did not become to a man, she did not have relations with a man, meaning she did not enter the stage of marriage called nesuin. Because if she is a nesua, then if she dies, her brother, who is a kohen, may not be metameter. Lo itama, to her, to a sister, he may be metame. The pasuk is telling us it is a mitzvah to be metame to a sister, and this is the halacha by all Zion Kroivim. Not only may the Kohen be metame to these Zion Kroivim, but it is also a mitzvah. The pasuk continues to tell us that there is a wife of a Kohen who a Kohen may not be metame to her, and that is a wife who he really was not allowed to marry. For example, if a Kohen marries a Grusha, a divorced woman, and that is also to him, the halacha is, if this Grusha dies, then the Kohen may not be metame to her, unless she is a Meis Mitzvah. And the pasuk says, Lo yitama bal ba'amov, lo yitama bal, a husband may not be metame to his wife, ba'amov, when she is among his people, which means she is not a Meis Mitzvah, lehechaloi, what type of a wife? A wife that desecrates him, a wife that he is also to marry. So if he marries such a woman and she dies and she is not a Meis Mitzvah, he may not be metame to her. And the pasuk continues, La yikruchu karcha b'roisham, a Kohen may not make a bald spot on his head in mourning over a dead person, a bald spot anywhere on his head. Ufa'as akonim lo yigalechu, and the edges of their beard they may not shave. Uvivsarim, and in their flesh, la yisra tu sarotes, they may not scratch a scratch over a dead person. The Mefarshim ask, why does the Torah have to tell us these Yisurim by Kohanim specifically? These Yisurim are not unique to Kohanim. If you look at other places in the Torah, these Yisurim are stated by every Yid. No Yid is allowed to scratch himself or pull out his hair over a dead person, and no Yid may shave the edges of his beard. So why does the Torah repeat it by Kohanim? Ibn Ezra, Meshech Chochma, and also the Ramban in Parshas Re'eh all say that besides for the Isser that all of Klal Yisrael has to do these Isurim, there is an extra reason by Kohanim not to do it. Since the Kohanim do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it is not proper for them to be seen before Hashem with scratches and with bald spots on their head and also with a face that is shaven. Therefore, the pasuk repeats it by Kohanim to tell us there is an extra reason for Kohanim not to do these Isurim. Concerning the Isser of Ufa'as Zekonim Le'egalechu, one may not shave the edges of his beard, Rashi tells us that in Parashas Kedoshim, the Lav was stated a bit differently. Over there it says, a Lashon of Ashchasa, destruction. For Le'esashchis, you may not destroy a Spa'as Zekonecho, the edges of your beard. Over here the pasuk uses a Lashon of Le'egalechu, they may not shave. And this is to teach us that the Isser is only Giluach Sheyesh B'Hashchasa, if there is a shaving that has destruction. It must have both, Giluach and Hashchasa. But one who pulls out his hairs on his beard with a tweezer, that is considered destruction, Hashchasa, but it is not Giluach, it is not shaving, and therefore it is not Usser. So what does it mean, Giluach Sheyesh B'Hashchasa? That is referring to shaving with a razor, which is considered shaving and also considered Hashchasa, destruction. The pasuk continues, Kedoshim Yiyu Leloi Kehem, they should be holy to their God, which means that Beis Din will enforce that Kohanim are not Metame Lemes, V'lo Yichallu Shem Elokeim, and they should not desecrate the name of their God. Ki es ishi Hashem, because the fire offerings of Hashem, lechem Elokeim, the food of their God, hei makrivim, they offer, v'hayu kodesh, and therefore they must be holy. Beis Din will enforce them not to be metame lemeis, because since they bring karbonos, they have a higher level of kedusha and may not become impure to a dead body. Then the pasuk tells us which women a kohen may not marry. Isha zayna v'chalala lo yikachu, a woman who is a zayna or a chalala, a kohen may not take as his wife. What is a zayna? Rashi tells us that if a woman has relations with another man who is prohibited to her, with an issur kares, or if she has relations with a nusin or a mamzer, the relations with these type of people will make her into a zayna, and therefore asur her to marry a kohen. What is a chalala? Chalala is the children that were born from a union that was forbidden for a kohen to marry. For example, if a kohen gadol marries an almona, a widow, and has a daughter, this daughter is a chalala, and she is asur to marry a kohen. And also, if a Kohen Hejid marries a Grusha, a divorced woman, the daughter is considered a Chalala and may not marry a Kohen. That is one way that one can become a Chalala. A second way is, if she herself was Boyal, she had relations with a Kohen who was not allowed to marry her. For example, if a Almona, a widow, marries a Kohen Gadol, So this relation will make this widow into a chalala, and then she will never be able to marry a kohen hejid because she is a chalala. Before she was only an almana. An almana is mutter to a kohen hejid. But now that she has relations with the kohen gadol, she becomes a chalala, and now she cannot even marry a kohen hejid. Then the pasuk says another type of woman which a kohen may not marry, and that is a grusha, a divorced woman. Ve'isha grusha me'isha, and a woman who is divorced from her husband, lo yikachu, they may not take in marriage. The Shach explains the reason why Kohanim may not marry a Grusha, and that is because since Kohanim do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and they bring togetherness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, therefore, the one who is a symbol of togetherness may not come and marry somebody who had pirud, who had separation. And that is why they are also to marry a Grusha who was separated from her husband. And this may be the reason why the Torah writes a separate lo yikachu by zoina and chalala, and a separate lo yikachu by grusha, because the reason why a kohen is usher to a zoina and chalala is different than the reason why a kohen is usher to a grusha. A zoina and chalala are usher to kohanim, because they were either involved in a prohibited relationship, or they were the children of the prohibited relationship. And that's why a kohen may not marry them. But a grusha is also because of a different reason. Since a grusha was separated from her husband, and the kohen is a symbol of unification by connecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, therefore he may not marry a grusha, and that's why the Torah writes, lo yikachu, separately by grusha. And the pasuk continues, ki kadosh hu lelekov. He is not allowed to marry these women because he is holy to his God. The Ayin Mefarshim, who discussed why the pasuk starts off Belashon Rabim in the plural by saying Lo Yikachu, they may not take, and then switches over to the singular by saying Ki Kadosh Hu, he is holy to his God. The Kiddashtoi and Bezdin should enforce that the Kohanim remain holy and do not marry these type of women, and if they do marry these women, they should give Malkus to these people in order that they should divorce these women. Ki Eslechem Elekecha Hu Makriv, because Kohanim offer and bring the Karbonos to Hashem, and therefore it is not proper for them to marry these women. Kadosh Yeloch, the Kohanim should be holy to you, meaning that if something must be done first, let the Kohanim be the first ones to do it. If someone must speak first, let the Kohen receive the honor of speaking first. If someone must lead the benching, let the Kohen lead the benching. Ki kadosh ani Hashem, because I, Hashem, am holy, mekadoshchem, and I make you, Klal Yisrael, holy. And the pasuk continues, Uvas ish kohen, and the daughter of a kohen, ki seichel liznais, who will desecrate herself and be mezaneh. Rashi tells us we are not talking about the daughter of a kohen who was unmarried, but rather the daughter of a kohen who was either an arusa or a nesua, and she was mezaneh. As avia hi mechaleles, she is disgracing her father who is a kohen, but esh tisarev, she must be burned in fire. The halach is typically by an eshes ish that was mezana, a nesua that was mezana, gets the misa of chenek, strangulation. The pasuk is telling us over here that since she is the daughter of the kohen and she is disgracing her father, she receives a more stringent misa, which is sreifa, burning. We see from this pasuk that a person must live up to the status of his parents. And if his parents are more prominent people, he has a greater chiyuv, a greater obligation not to embarrass them. Like we see over here in this pasuk, that the daughter of the kohen gets a more stringent misa because her father is a kohen. And the pasuk continues, V'ha-kohen, and the kohen ha-gadol me'echov, that is greater than his brothers. The kohen gadol, asher yutzak al rosh ha-shem ha-mishcha, that upon his head was poured the anointing oil, umile es yodoy lil boishas ha-begodim, and he was inaugurated to wear the eight begodim of the kohen gadol, es rosh ha-la-yifra, he may not let his hair grow long more than 30 days, uve-gadov la-yifraim, and he may not rip his clothing. Typically, when one is in a state of mourning, the halacha is that he must let his hair grow long and rip his clothing. The Torah is telling us that a kohen gadol is on a higher level of kedusha, and therefore, if he is in a state of mourning, he may not rip his clothing and may not let his hair grow for more than 30 days. And then the pasuk tells us that the halachos of a kohen gadol are more stringent than those of a kohen hejid. A kohen hejid was allowed to be metame himself to the zayin krovim, his seven relatives, but a kohen gadol is not allowed to be metame even to the zayin krovim. Like the pasuk says, the alkol nafshos meis lo yavoi, and to any dead person lo yavoi, he may not enter into a tent where the corpse is lying, because a dead body is metame ba'oel, which means that if there is a dead body in a tent, any person or anything that is inside this tent becomes tame. The pasuk is telling us that if there is a dead body inside an oel, a tent, the kohen gadol may not enter inside the tent. And the reason why the pasuk says nafshos meis, the soul of a dead person, the word nafshos is telling us that even if the body is not inside the tent, but if there is a revius of dam, approximately 3 to 5 ounces of blood of this dead body inside the tent, the halach is that that is also metame ba'oil, that will also be metame any person that enters the tent, and the kohen gadol may not enter this tent. La'aviv uli'imoy lo yitamo, even to his father or his mother or any of the Zion Kroivim, he may not be mitametu. And Rashi tells us that these words la'aviv uli'imoy are really extra, because we know already that he may not be mitametu to the Zion Kroivim from the words val kol nafshos meis lo yavoy, he may not enter the tent where any dead body is, including the Zion Kroivim. So why do we need la'aviv uli'imoy lo yitamo? The pasuk is coming to tell us la'aviv uli'imoy lo yitamo, but he may be mitametu to a meis mitzvah, somebody who does not have another person to bury him. And this is the only type of person who a kohen gadol may be metametu, a meis mitzvah, but not to the Zion Kroivim. And all the Mefarshim asked the kasha that we see earlier in Pasuk Beis, when it speaks about the Zion Kroivim, which a kohen hedrit may be metametu, it says first le'imoy ula aviv, first imoy and then aviv. But over here by kohen gadol, the pasuk reverses it and says le'aviv ula imoy lo yitama, placing first aviv. The Torah, the Malbim, and also Dasakenim Mibaliat Tosfos all answer this question the same way. And that is, concerning Imoy, a mother, a person can be certain who his mother is, because witnesses may have been there and seen this mother give birth to this child. But concerning a father, a person cannot be 100% certain that this is his father, because maybe his mother was Mizana, and he was born from a different relationship from a different father. So the pasuk is saying like this, Loizu afsu, Loizu, not only is a kohen mutter to be metamet to his mother, who we are certain that this is his mother, but even afsu, even his father, who we are not 100% certain that this is his father, he may be metamet to him. Concerning kohen gadol, where the Torah is saying that he may not be metamet to his father and his mother, the Torah flips it around. B'derech loizu afsu. Loizu, not only may a kohen gadol not be metamet to his father, who we are not certain that this is his father, but even afsu, even his mother, who we are certain that this is his mother, he may not be metamet to her. And with this teretz, it's also answered why by Nazir, in Parshas Nasai, Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, the pasuk over there also says la'aviv uli'imoy, to his father and his mother lo yitama, he may not be metame. So over there also, where the pasuk is saying he may not be metame, it is also going b'derech loizu afsu. Not only may he not be metame to his father, who is not certainly his father, but even to his mother, who is definitely his mother, he may not be metame. Ibn Ezra learns a different pshat. And he says the reason why the pasuk says by kohen hedrit, imai first and then aviv, because typically a man lives longer than a woman. So therefore the pasuk says that the mother died first and then the father died. But according to this pshat, we have to understand why by kohen gadol does it say aviv first and then imai if the mother usually dies first. In Sefer Mayono Shel Torah, he answers according to this Ibn Ezra, that we can say that by kohen gadol it is different, because typically the kohen gadol will take over the place of his father. His father was the kohen gadol, and if the kohen gadol dies and the son is worthy, then he will take over the place of his father and he will become the kohen gadol. So if we will say in this pasuk that his mother died first, then this person will not be the kohen gadol, because his father will still be the kohen gadol. So the only way that he will be the kohen gadol is only if his father dies first and he becomes the kohen gadol, and then his mother dies. That's why the pasuk has to say le'aviv uli'imoy lo yitama, that if his father dies first and he becomes kohen gadol, then he may not be metame to his father, and then if his mother dies, he may not be metame to his mother. And the pasuk continues, Umin ha-migdosh le'yetzei, and the kohen gadol should not leave the migdosh. Rashi tells us two pshatim in these words. First pshat is, Umen Amigdosh Layetze, he shall not leave his holiness. He shall not follow the funeral procession because we are afraid. If he will follow this procession, he will end up coming in contact with the mace, with the corpse, and become tummy. Therefore the Pasuk says, Umen Amigdosh Layetze, he shall be careful not to leave his Kedusha by following the procession. Rashi says a second shot, Umin Amigdosh Leyetze, he shall not leave the Beis Hamigdosh and not leave the Avodah when he is an Oinen. An Oinen is a mourner on the day of the death of his relatives. So typically a regular Kohen who is an Oinen may not do the Avodah. The Pasuk is telling us over here that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah when he is in the state of Aninos. And the Pasuk is saying, Umin Amigdosh Leyetze, even though his relative died. On this day, Umen Amigdosh Layetze, he shall not leave the Migdosh. He shall do the Avodah. V'lo yechalel es Migdosh Alekov. And by doing the Avodah, when he is anointing, he is not desecrating the Kachim, the Karbonis of Hashem. Kinezer Shemen Mishchas Alekov Olav Ani Hashem. Because the crown of Shemen HaMishcho is on him, I am Hashem. He is the Kohen Gadol who may do the Avodah in the state of Aninus. But a Kohen Hedget who does the Avodah. When he is anointing, the Avodah is possible. And the pasuk continues by telling us who a kohen gadol may and may not marry. Who isha bifsuleha yikach, he must take an isha who is a bisula, a virgin, almana, a widow, ugrusha, and a woman who was divorced, v'chalala, and a chalala, and zoyna, and a zoyna, es ela la yikach, these women he may not take, ki only in bisula me'am av yikach isha, a bisula from his nation may he take as a wife. So the pasuk is telling us that a kohen gadol may not marry the same women that a kohen hedget may not marry, a grusha, a chalala, and a zoyna. And the Torah adds on that a kohen gadol may also not marry an almana, a widow. The Moshe Zakenim al HaTorah, which is from the Bali HaTosfos, suggests the reason why the Torah asked a Kohen Gadol to marry an Almana. He says that had the Kohen Gadol been allowed to marry a widow, we would be afraid of the following scenario. Perhaps the Kohen would have his eyes on a married woman who he really wanted to marry. We are afraid that when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur to say the Shem HaMefarish, which has this supernatural powers to even kill people, like Rashi says in Parsha Shemois, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yudalad, he might have in mind the husband of the woman who he wants to marry, and thereby causing his death. To avoid this potentially life-threatening situation, the Torah commands the Kohen Gadol to only marry a woman who has never previously married. This way, even if he kills the husband with the Shem HaMefarish on Yom Kippur, he will still not be able to marry this person's wife because she is an almana. We see from here that nobody is immune from doing an Avera, because even the holiest Jew, the Kohen Gadol, on the holiest day of the year on Yom Kippur, in the holiest place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we are still afraid that he might have such thoughts. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer Dorosh Moshe asks, why does the Torah have to repeat by a Kohen Gadol that he is ushered to marry a Grusha, a Chalola, and a Zoyna? This is obvious, because every Kohen Gadol is also a Kohen Hedget, and a Kohen Hedget is ushered to Grusha, Chalola, and Zoyna. The Torah should have just said that a Kohen Gadol is also ushered to marry a Almana, a widow. Why does it have to repeat Grusha, Chalola, and Zoyna? Rav Moshe answers that the Torah is teaching the Kohen Gadol a lesson, and telling him that although you are on such a high level, you are the Kohen Gadol, don't think that you are immune from doing an Avera. But rather, you must always look at yourself as if you are on the lower level and very capable of doing an Avera. You must look at yourself that you are not the Kohen Gadol, you are only a Kohen Hedget. You are only also to Grusha, Chalola, and Zoyna. And this way, you will stay away from doing Averis. And McDover asks, why does the Torah have to say twice that a Kohen Gadol must marry a Bisula? In Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hu Isha B'Bisuleha Yikach, and also in Pasuk Yud Dalet, Ki Im Bisula Me'amav Yikach Isha. He answers that typically the Kohen Gadol should look for in a wife a Mitsuyanis, an exceptional and outstanding woman. But if he cannot find this Mitsuyanis, then the Kohen Gadol should not stay and remain without a wife, but rather should take an ordinary woman, even the daughter of an ordinary person. And that's why the pasuk repeats, Ki im besula me'am av yikach isha. If he cannot find this Mitsuyanis, then he should take a besula me'am av, a besula that is among his people, even the daughter of a hedget, the daughter of a typical man. And the pasuk continues, "V'leichalol zaroi," and the kohen gadol should not make his children into chalolim, because by marrying these women that are also to him, his children will be chalolim. Ki ani Hashem mekadeshoi, because I am Hashem who makes him holy. Zok Rashi emor el hakoyanim pasuk aleph emor ve'amarta. The Torah says a double lashon of saying emor and also ve'amarta lahazir gedolim alaktanim, to warn the gedolim, the adults, not to be metame the kohanim who are minors, who are ketanim. And Rashi stated this halacha of lahazir gedolim alaktanim in other parashas also. We find it in Parashas Yisrael, Perek Chav, Pasuk Yud, concerning being mechal Shabbos, that the gadol, an adult, may not cause a katan to be mechal Shabbos for him. And also in Parashas Shmini, in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and also in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Beis, concerning macholos asuros, the halacha is that a gadol may not feed a katan macholos asuros, shrotim which are usur, or non-kosher birds that are usur. And also in Parashas Achrei Mois, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, concerning the Isra of Dam, Rashi there also tells us that the gadol may not feed the katan dam. And Rashi continues, Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, Yochol Chalolim, I might think that Chalolim are also included in the Isser of not being Metam Lameis, Tamad Loimar HaKoyanim. The Pasuk says Koyanim, to exclude Chalolim. Bnei Aharon, Af Bali Mumim B'mashma. Bnei Aharon is including that even a Koyan that has a Mum may not be Metam Lameis. Bnei Aharon, the sons of Aharon, Zok Rashi, V'loi B'noi Zaharon, but not the daughters of Aharon. Female Koyanim are allowed to be Metam Lameis. What does the word ba'amov mean? As long as the dead person is among his people, he has other people to bury him. Yata, this comes to exclude meis mitzvah, a meis mitzvah who does not have other people to bury him. It is a mitzvah for the kohen to be metamet to such a meis. Zok Rashi kiyum l'she'eroi, he may be metamet to l'she'eroi, ein she'eroi ela ishtoi. The word she'eroi means his wife. Hakroiva, his sister that is close to him, l'rabbi says arusa, if she only went through the first stage of marriage and then she dies, he may be metame to such a sister. But asher lo yhoisa l'ishlo mishkam, but not a woman, not a sister that had relations with another man and she went through the stage of nesuin. Then if she dies, he may not be metame to her. Lo yitama, the pasuk says to her, he may be metame. Zok Rashi mitzvah. It is an obligation for him to be metame to his sister and to all of the Zion Kroivim. Lo yitame baal ba'amov lehechaloi, lo yitame le'ishtei psula. A kohen may not be metame to his wife who is unfit for him. Shehu mechula ba'oide imoi, to a woman who makes him desecrated and chulin when she is with him. V'chein pshute shel mikra. And this is the simple meaning of the pasuk. Lo yitame baal b'she'eroi, a husband, a kohen, may not be metame to his wife when she is among her people. She has people to bury her. She ain't a meis mitzvah. She is not a meis mitzvah. And what type of wife did I state that the kohen may not be metametu? This type of wife that makes him chulin, that desecrates him. One that desecrates him from his kahuna. If he marries a woman that he is not allowed to marry, he marries a grusha, and then the grusha dies, and she has other people to bury her. The halacha is that the kohen may not be metamet to such a wife. Zok Rashi lo yikruchu karcha, he may not make a bald spot al meis over a dead person. V'aloi af Yisrael hu zar al kach. Rashi asks that even a regular yid is included in this iser. It says in Parashas Re'eh that a yid may not make a bald spot on his head. So why do we need a pasuk by Kohanim? El lefisha ne'amar b'Yisrael. Since the pasuk says in Parashas Re'eh concerning a yid, b'nei neichem, he may not make a bald spot between his eyes. Yochol lo yehi chayiv al kol ha'roish. I might think that the iser is only on the hair on the top of his head between his eyes, but not on the hair on his whole head. Talmud Leimar, therefore the pasuk says over here, b'roisham, anywhere on his head. V'yilmedu Yisrael mikohanim b'gzereshava. We learn all yidden from kohanim with a gzereshava. Ne'makan karcho, v'ne'ma lahanul b'Yisrael karcho. It says over here in the pasuk the word karcho, and also over there it says karcho by Yisrael. Ma'kan kol ha'roish. Just like over here, where it says Beroisham, it means anywhere on the head. Aflahalon, also over there in Parshas Re'eh by Yisrael, Kol Roish B'mashma, it means anywhere on the head. Kol Mokam Sheyikareach Beroish, anywhere where he will make a bald spot on his head. Umala Halon, and just like over there, Al Meis, the pasuk says Beferish, it is talking about making a bald spot over a dead dead person. Afkan almeis, here too the Isser is only almeis over a dead person. Ufa'as the konim loy galechu, and the edges of their beard they may not shave. Lefisha nema be Yisrael. Since it says by Yisrael, v'loy sashchis, you shall not destroy, in Parshas Kedoshim, yocha loktoy, b'malaket urehitni. If he plucks it with types of tweezers, it will also be chayiv. Lekach, therefore the pasuk says, lekach nemar, lo yigalechu, he shall not shave. She'en chayiv ela al dover hakor giluach. The Isser is only on something that is called shaving, v'yesh ba'ashchoso, and also is considered destruction. V'zehu sar, and this is with a razor. It must have these two qualifications, that it should be hashchasa, destruction, and also giluach, shaving. And that is only with a razor, but a tweezer is only hashchasa, destruction, but not shaving. Zakrashi uvivsarim lo yisritu sarotes, lefisha nema bi Yisrael. Since it says in Parashas Kedoshim by a yid, v'seret lo nefesh lo sitnu, that one may not scratch himself over a dead person, yocho soret chamisha sritois. I might think that if he makes seven scratches, lo yehi chayiv ela achas, he will only be chayiv once. Therefore the pasuk says, Talmud loymar, lo yisritu sarotes, the double lashon. L'chayiv akol sritu usrita, to be mechayiv him on each and every scratch. Shetevezu yaseirihi lidrash, because this word, sarotes, is extra to make a drasha. Shehoye lo lichtoiv lo yisroitu. The pasuk should have said, uvivsarim lo yisroitu. Vani yadeash yehi sarotes, and I know that it means a scratch. Why does the pasuk have to say, lo yisritu, he shall not scratch, sarotes, a scratch? So the extra word, sarotes, comes to teach us, l'chayiv akol srita usrita. The Ayin B'Sefer Maskel David, who asks, why doesn't Rashi say the same drasha on the pasuk La Yikrichu Karcha Berosham? Over there also the pasuk is saying a double lashon La Yikrichu Karcha, and the Gemara darshins from this double lashon L'chayev Akol Karcha V'Karcha, to be mechayev him on every bald spot. So why doesn't Rashi mention this drasha just like he mentioned it by La Yisritu Sarotes? Zok Rashi Kedoshim Yiu Al Karcham Yakdishim Bezdin B'Kach. Against their will, Bezdin will enforce and make sure that they remain holy and they are not metame lemeis to a dead person. Zakrashi Zoyna, who is considered a Zoyna that may not marry a Kohen, Shenivala Be'ilas Yisrael Ha'osula, she had relations with a Yisrael who is prohibited to her. Kigoin, for example, Chayvi Kwisas, she married somebody who has a Chiv Kwisas to marry her. A Nosin Oy Mamzer, or she marries a Nosin or a Mamzer. A Nosin is a descendant of the Gevoinim, who were a tribe from Canaan, who tricked Yeshua into accepting them as Gerim. David HaMelech made a gzeirah that these Nesinim may not marry another Jew. So if this woman marries a Nosin, she may not marry a Kohen. What are Mamzerim? They are children born from forbidden unions that there is a Chiyuv Karis. So if this woman marries a Mamzer, then she is not allowed to marry a Kohen. Zot Rashi Chalala, Shenolda min Apsulim Shebekuna. She was born from a marriage where somebody was unfit and not allowed to marry a Kohen. Kigoin Bas Almona Mikoin Gadol. The daughter of an Almona, a widow who marries a Kohen Gadol, this daughter is a Chalala and is also to marry a Kohen. Or Bas Gerusha V'Chalutza Mikoin Hedjit, or the daughter of a divorced woman, or Chalutza, the daughter of a woman that received Chalitza, who married a Kohen Hedjit, who is also to him. This daughter may not marry a Kohen. V'chein sheneschala min ha-kohuna al-yidei bias echad min ha-besulim le-kohuna. Another way to become a chalala is if she has relations with a Kohen who she is not allowed to marry. For example, if an almona marries a Kohen gadol, the almona becomes a chalala through this relationship, and then she is not allowed to marry a Kohen hedjit. Zok Rashi v'kidashtoi, and you shall make him holy, al-karchoi, against his will. She'im loy roitza lagarish, if he does not want to divorce these women, halkeo v'yasreu, give him lashes and punish him, achi yagarish, until he divorces these women. Kadosh yelach, the Kohen should be holy to you, nehoi by kedusha, treat him with holiness, liftayach rishem b'chol davar, that he should be the first to start anything, ulevarech rishem besuda, and he shall be the one to lead the birchas hamazon. Kisecha lisnois, the daughter of the Kohen, who will desecrate herself for znus, kishineschalel ayidei znus, if she will desecrate herself through znus, shahosa ba zikas bal, she had a bond to a husband, vizanta, and she was mezana, oimina erisin, oimina nesuin, whether she was an arusa, she went through the first stage of marriage, and then was mezana, or she was an isua, where she went through the second stage of marriage, and was was Mizana. And our Chachamim argue concerning if the Pasuk is referring to an Arusa or a Nesua. But everybody agrees, the Pasuk is not talking about an unmarried woman. She is desecrating and shaming her father. She is shaming his honor. They will say about him, Arur Shezu Yolad, cursed is the one who gave birth to such a child. Arur Shezu Gidel, cursed is the one who raised such a child. And the Pasuk says concerning a Kohen Gadol, that if somebody in his family dies, as Roshe Leifra, he shall not let his hair grow long. Leigadol Pera, it shall not grow wildly. Al Ovel, because of mourning. Ve'ezu Gidol Pera, what is considered growing wild? Yoise Mishloshim Yoim, more than 30 days. Ba'kol Nafshes Meis, Ba'oyel Ameis, he may not enter the tent of a mace. That's why it says lo yovoy. Nafshos mace. Why does it say nafshos? Lahavi revias dam min hamace. To include that even if the corpse is not in the tent, but a revias dam, one revias of blood of this corpse is in the tent. Shemetame ba'oil, that it is metame with the tumah of tumas oil. So Rashi, the pasuk is coming to say that a kohen gadol may be metame to a meis mitzvah. The pasuk did not have to say la'aviv uli'imay lo yitamo. Once it already said about kol nafshes meis la'yavoy, it is repeated to tell us that a meis mitzvah he may be metame to. He shall not follow the funeral procession because he might lose his kedusha by becoming tame to the corpse. And also from here, Rabbi Seinu, our Rabbanim learn that a Kohen Gadol could be makriv when he is in a state of aninus, when he is on the day that a relative of his died. And so is the meaning of the pasuk. Even if his father and mother died, he does not have to leave the Beis HaMikdash. Ela only oved avoda. He does the avoda while being in a state of aninus. He is not being mechalal the Migdash through this. She'ena mechalal b'kachas ha'avoida. He is not desecrating through this the avoida by doing the avoida ba'aninus. She'hitu le'akosov. Because the Torah allowed this. Ha'koin hedit she'ovat. But a kohen hedit, a regular kohen that does the avoida oinen when he is in a state of aninus. Chilel, he is desecrating and passeling the avoida. Zakrashi v'chalolo, what is a chalolo? Shenolda, she was born mipsule kohuna, from a marriage that was unfit for a kohen to marry. The child of this marriage is considered a chalolo. Maskela David asks, why does Rashi have to repeat and tell us what a chalolo is? He said it already in Pasuk Zayin. And second of all, once he is telling us what a chalolo is, why doesn't he tell us both ways that are mentioned earlier? A daughter that is born from Pesulei Kohuna, and also the woman herself who will have relations with a Kohen who is Asa to her, she herself becomes a Chalolo. Why doesn't Rashi state that way also over here? Maskela David answers that Rashi was bothered by something in the Pasuk, because if you look in the Pasuk, Almona, Ugrusha, Vachalolo are all connected with a Vav, but Zoyna is not. It does not say Uzoyna, just Vachalolo Zoyna. Maskela David answers that Almona, Grusha, and Chalola have one thing in common. They can all be a Besula. A Almona, a widow, can be a Besula because, let's say she got married with only the stage of Erisin, and then her husband dies, so she never had relations with her husband. She is a Besula, but she is also to the Kohen Gadol because she is an Almona. Her husband died. Similarly, by Grusha, if the Isha got married with Erisin and then got divorced, she never had relations with her husband, she is a besula. She is usher because she is a gerusha. And so too by chalolo. One type of chalolo can be a besula if she was born from psule kohuna. But when we come to zoyna, a zoyna by definition cannot be a besula, because a zoyna is one who had relations with a person, with a man who is usher to her. So when it comes to almona, grusha, and chalolo, the Torah is saying that although they are besulais, they are usher to the Kohen Gadol because they are either an almona, a grusha, or chalolo. But when it comes to zoyna, zoyna is different. Zoyna has two isurim. First of all, she is usher to the Kohen Gadol because she is not a besula, and secondly, because she is also a zoyna. That's why the Torah does not connect chalolo and zoyna with a vav, because zoyna is different. And that's why Zok the Maskel of David, Rashi tells us what Chalola is here, and only says one of the ways of Chalola, Shenolda mipsule kohuna, that she was born from a psule kohuna, because only that type of Chalola has only one Isser. Because if Rashi would have said the other type of Chalola, which is that she had relations with a Kohen who was Asa to her, then she would be a Chalola, and also somebody who is not a Besula. There would be two Isser on that Chalola, and the Torah would not connect it with Almona and Grusha, but rather with Zayna. Therefore Rashi tells us, this Chalola is talking about a Chalola who is a Besula. Shenolda mi psule kohuna, she was born from the psule kohuna, and not the other type of Chalola. Zot Rashi v'lo yichal zaroi, the Kohen Gadol shall not be mechalel his children, ha'im nosa achas min apsulois, but if he marries one of these women who are puzzled to him, zaroi hem min acholol, his children from her will be chalolim midin kedushas kohuna, from the holiness of kohuna. They will have the din of chalolim because they are the offspring of this marriage that was usher.